teachings and on the movie that you saw.
Warning, please.
So we want to talk about an encounter and then a continuing experiences. And the scripture is found in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So what you're going to hear is a summary of everything you've ever been taught about the Christian faith. And I'm going to try to package it together so that it makes sense as to how we are to be the witness that God has called us to be and how your testimony fits into that. So to be born again means that you've had an encounter with the living God. And the word encounter is very important. You have encountered him. You have encountered his love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. So if you are truly born again, you know that God absolutely loves you unconditionally. You've encountered his peace, because before you were born again, you were at war with God. That's what Romans 5:1 says. And so when you became born again, he made peace with you and the war ended. And not only that, but you also have the peace, not only peace with God, but you have the peace of God that passes all human understanding. And that's John 14:27. That encounter, that initial born again encounter, is life-changing, transforming us from the inside out. But it should also be a continuing experience. So to be born again means that you continue to experience God on a regular basis as you live out your daily life. So you experience God at home, at work, with your friends, in the neighborhood. So an encounter with God gets you born again and brings you into the kingdom and gives you the ability to have an experience with God for the rest of your life, every day. And so John the Apostle, who wrote 1 John chapter 1, he says, that which we have seen, or that which we have encountered or experienced, and that's what John 3:3 said, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so there is this thing, once you're born again, you can see the kingdom. You can enter, you've entered the kingdom, and you can see what God is doing. Secondly, John said that which we have heard, because now you can hear the voice of God, in spite of what most Christians think, they can hear the voice of God. John 10, verse 3, my sheep hear my voice. John 10, 4, my sheep follow me, for they know my voice. So there's maybe, you know, 30 voices in your head, but one of them is God's, and you can get to know which one is God's, and it's always that same voice. And then thirdly, John 10:16, my sheep obey my voice. So if you're having troubles hearing God, it may be because you need to go back to where you last heard him. So, and then thirdly, John says, that which we have touched. So we have touched and experienced his power. His power moved you from light to darkness. Sorry, by backwards, darkness to light. We don't want to get you unsaved, we want to get you saved. His power moved you from darkness to light. That's Colossians 1:13. He took you from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. His power was to move in the supernatural, which are the nine gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. And also, you touched the power, and that power is given to you to witness or evangelize or give you testimony, and that's Acts 1:8. So as believers, disciples, followers, here. Sorry. As disciples, believers, followers, we've had an encounter with the living God. That's why it says in the Bible that God is with us, or Emmanuel, or Jesus, or the Word of Life, as it said in the verses we read at the very beginning. And that initial encounter is followed by regular experiences of His peace, His presence, and His power. That should be totally life-changing, life-altering, transformational. You should be different. You will never be the same again, and tomorrow you shouldn't be the same as you were today, because you're having new experiences with God. So if you know someone who says they're born again and they're the same as they were 10 years ago, I don't believe they're born again. If you know somebody who's born again and they're filled with unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, anger, frustration, whatever all those words are that we don't like, and some of us have in us at times, you have to question whether you're born again. Because we have had this encounter with unconditional love, and every day we have this ability to have this experience of God, to see Him, hear Him, and touch Him. You and I are now what we call new creatures in Christ. I told you there's nothing new. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore if anyone is in Christ, not just Jesus in you, which is impossible because the Holy Spirit lives in you, not just Jesus in you, but you in Him, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I think our problem is we get people, quote unquote, born again or saved, and we tell them Jesus is now living in them. And the whole idea of being born again is that you live in Him, in Christ. And I think we've missed that point. So John continues it in his letter to state that you can know for certain that you're truly born again, or that we are true new creatures in Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know for certain that you have eternal life. Eternal life is a gift, Romans chapter 6. Eternal life is defined in John 17. It's the supernatural ability to have a relationship with God. So John wrote the first letter of John so that every person would know for certain whether they were truly born again. When I first read that, and it was one of the first things I read after I got born again, because I got born again under 3 John, I thought to myself, what things? So I went back and reread it, and there are almost 30 verses in the 5 chapters of the first letter of John that state things like this. If you are born again, if you know God, if you are born from above, if you know God, it just keeps going over and over and over and over again. So everyone can test themselves to see if they're true believers or whether they're just cultural Christians or just flat out pagans.
Is
it
just in 1 John?
They're all in 1 John. Okay. He said, these things I have written. So what things? Chapters 1 to 5. Because he's saying that at the end of chapter 5. Okay. 2 Corinthians says, examine yourself to see if you... Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So there are number of things that should be in our lives as we encounter and then experience God on a daily basis. You can't preach on 30 points. You could, but nobody would stay awake till the end.
I would if it was my first week.
as you sped through it in 15 minutes?
11.
Speedy Gonzalez.
All right, so here are the 6 things when you boil them down. You take the 30 verses, you boil them down. If you are truly a new creature in Christ, not just Christ in you, the hope of glory, number one, you are obedient to His commands. So if you're not talking to other people about Jesus, you're just deceiving yourself. Because Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. You are my witnesses. I quote you a whole pile of verses. So 1 John 2:3, we know that we have come to know him. That means being born again, because you have this relationship with him, if we obey his commands. So one of the tests of whether or not you're a true disciple of Jesus is, are you obeying his commands? Because Jesus said in John 14:23, if you love me, you'll obey me. It's not rocket science. He has commands. They're not suggestions. It's not a smorgasbord. Take what you want, leave what you don't. Okay. Second sign that you're truly born again is by your words and your lifestyle, you show people Jesus. In 1 John 2:23, no one who denies the Son, either by their lifestyle or by their words, has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. To be born again means to have the Father, by the way. It means he is your Father, your Heavenly Father. Okay, in 1 John 4:15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he lives in God. And you would acknowledge that by your attitude, your words, your lifestyle, your thoughts, what you do in your life, who your friends are. Everything that you are either witnesses for Jesus or against him. Okay, number three, third sign of being born again, according to 1 John, is that you practice righteousness. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Righteousness means you have right relationships, or you have worked at having right relationships, even if the relationships have not worked out. You have done your part.
So righteousness means right relationships?
With him and with others. How can you say you love God whom you cannot see if you cannot love your brother so you can't see? So it's a relationship. The cross is both vertical and horizontal. Okay, so let me give you another verse. So 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 and 9. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has ever seen him or known him. In other words, you're not born again. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. And in the Greek, it's sin, the same sin. Because God's seed remains in him, he cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. 1 John 5:18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. Let's explain that last one. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. That's us. Okay, if we're really born again, we won't continue to sin the same sin. Okay, the one who was born of God, that's Jesus, keeps him, the one who is born again, safe. And the evil one cannot touch him. So, harm him, sorry. So, when people say, you know, the old Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it, that's bullshit. Because the devil cannot even touch you, can't do that. He can't come and harm you unless you open the door. Because Jesus can keep you, because he already redeemed you and owned you.
Yes. That includes your words.
Yes.
Because I find too many people, they're mouthy. They talk about how frightened they are all the time. Like, I've done it too when I've been scared and I've talked to you guys. But if you're constantly focusing on how frightened you are, Satan's a joke, but he's good at what he does. And he takes your words.
And uses them.
Read your mind.
And uses them.
Beat the hell out of you.
Yeah. Uses them. Yeah. That's right. Okay, so you may stumble and you may fall, but you won't continually stumble and fall in the same pothole. That's all that's saying. Number four, if you are born again, according to 1 John, the whole letter, you have a tremendous love for other Christians. That's a very practical love. It's a very daily love. Very practical. It's not one, oh, I love you. It's practical. Okay, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life. We're born again because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death.
So you said practical and...
Practical. Daily. It's not... And daily.
Daily, thank you.
Okay, another one. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. This also means you have to be a practicing member of the church. You can't be a Christian by yourself outside of the body of Christ, because you're supposed to love one another. And the one another's are the Christians, and we're the hardest to love, trust me.
Yep.
Okay, there's only 6 of them. Number 5. If you are truly born again, you believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's not a head knowledge. That is the word believe means to trust. You have to trust God with your whole being. So 1 John 5:1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. But that believe, again, is to trust. So everyone who trusts that Jesus is the Christ. So you can pray to him and not trust. You can declare him around the world and not trust. The key word there is the trust. Do you put your whole weight on who he is and what he's done? Or are you still trying to do your performance religion? Another verse, 1 John 3:23-24. This is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Okay, and sixth sign that you can be testing yourself, it says that we overcome, or we're overcoming the world by faith. 1 John 5:4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. You didn't like that one? 1 John 2:15.
What was the other one? 1 John 5:4.
1 John 2:15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So when Paul says in 2 Corinthians, test yourself to see if you're in the faith, to see if you're really born again, and truly do have a personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ whom he sent, these are the 6 things that you could be looking at and examining in your life. These are the results of, or the fruit of, truly having a relationship with God. Will you have them all down pat perfectly? No. Will you be progressing in them? Yes. Will you be changing? Yes, because you had an encounter, you got saved. Now you have a daily experience of him in some way. Not just reading your Bible and studying all the scriptures. You have a daily personal experience with him. It may be through the Bible, but it could also be through a relationship or whatever. Okay, so John said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, who trust in the Son of God, so that you may know, and the word know there is to know for certain, that you have eternal life, which is a relationship with God. Everywhere I go, I ask people, have you experienced the love of God? Experienced it. I didn't ask them if they know it, because in their head they do know it. Have they experienced it? No. They have not. So therefore, have they encountered God? No, because God is love. And if you haven't experienced it, then you're not saved. But somebody told them they were. So we're supposed to know deep down inside that we're going to go to heaven when we die. And that has to be an absolute assurance. And these people in the scriptures had that deep assurance that God loved them and that they experienced his love every day, his provision every day. You know, God has given to us all things pertaining unto life and to godliness. That's why we trust him and don't worry or get anxious. Here's the problem. We invite him into our lives, where really he wants to invite us into his life. And he wants us to allow him to live his life through us. That's the difference between him being in us and us being in him. And Tom taught you back 5-6 weeks ago, and he had a quote, and the quote's on the screen. For too long, we've called unbelievers to invite Jesus into your life. Jesus doesn't want to be in your life. your life before him is a wreck. Jesus calls you into his life, and his life isn't boring or purposeless or static. It's wild and exhilarating and unpredictable. People who are really born again, they live a very wild, exhilarating, and unpredictable life. That's why Paul, and he expresses it well when he says this, in him we live and we move and we have our being. In him. Not him and us, in him. So we're allowing him to live through us. Another one, Paul wrote, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, Paul says, I'm dead. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So if we will let God live through us, in us and through us, then we will see, we will hear, and we will touch. But as long as we're living our life and asking him to enter it and bless us and touch us and help us and heal us, and then it ain't happening. Which is why so many Christians are living in such non-success, no victories. So we need to understand that we need to allow him to live his life through us. And as we do that, people will see that. They'll see his life in us. And then they will come into the kingdom, which is what it said in 1 John, that we share these things with you, the things we see, hear, and touch on a daily basis, the things we experience about God. We share those with you that you may share fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with God the Father. So what is it? What are they saying in 1 John chapter 5? Chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Come and join our fellowship. Our fellowship is with the Father. In other words, you're going to see what God is doing in us. See it, hear it, and touch it, what he's doing through us, and you will come to join our fellowship. In other words, you'll get born again. We will become productive. How did the verses end? Verse 4 said that your joy may be complete and full. How many joyful Christians do you know? Not many. Most of us look like we got baptized in lemon juice and haven't dried out yet. Why are we not walking in joy? Because we're not inviting other people into the fellowship that we have. Because for most Christians, I really question whether they have that fellowship. So, and many people, you know them, who say they're Christians, don't live any different than those who aren't Christians. So if we will begin to let God live his life through us, because we are in Christ, and then we will go into all the world and make disciples. It will be normal. It won't be something we have to keep pounding into the believer. Go, go, go. Talk to people. So that's why 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. You've gone from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. So, your personal testimony is your encounter and your experience with God as he lives his life through you. So, for 3 weeks, you saw a movie about a guy's testimony, Lee Strobel's testimony, his life-changing encounter with God. He is still experiencing God on a regular basis. He's probably got 20 books on the market now. He's constantly on the go teaching about evangelism. But he's continued to experience God. And here are the four things you get to talk about in your testimony. Your salvation experience, your experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and therefore empowered. Otherwise, you're a nice Baptist, but you're not a spirit-filled charismatic. Your continuing changes in your life, the way you see life and live life. And your regular daily experiences as you see God touch others through you. your testimony goes from the day you met God, even a little before that, so they know what you got rescued from, but it goes right through to being saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, the changes that happened in your life right away, and the experiences that you've been having ever since. In other words, fresh manna. Too many testimonies are stale manna. Your testimony only lasts for a day. What did God do today? Mm-hmm. So you need fresh manna. When people say, well, I'm not sure if I have a testimony, they're probably not saved. Because if you've had an encounter with the living God, who is love, then you have a testimony and you know it. So when people say, well, I don't know what I'd put into my testimony, maybe they don't have one. Okay? This is all Jesus did, and you've heard me teach you this before. John 1:4, in him was life, that word there is Zoe, God's life, God's very nature or essence, and that life inside Jesus was the light of man. God lived his life through Jesus. And we're called to do exactly the same thing. Let Jesus live his life through us. And when we do that, that becomes light. So Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven, because they will be seeing what he's doing through you, the very life of God that's in you. So you have this encounter with God, and then every day you have a continuing experience of God and with God, so that you're never short of a current new testimony of what God has showed you, taught you, or done with you, or through you. That may not be true for most Christians, but it should be true for us. We're getting older and wiser, and we've had a lot of track record with God. So, but we need to update our experiences and have something that's fresh and new, because the old gets pretty boring pretty quick. Amen?
Go back